Well, tonight we continue our series from the Westminster Shorter Catechism called Our Glorious Redeemer, as we're working through questions 21 to 28. And just for a quick review, question 21 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, who is the Redeemer of God's elect? Answer, the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever. That's question 21. Question 22 on Christ's incarnation. How did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Answer, Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and born of her, yet without sin. Question 23 asks, what offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? Answer, Christ as our Redeemer executes the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. That was the general introduction to the three offices that Christ executes as our Redeemer, prophet, priest, and king. So what we're now going to do is get into looking at these offices in detail. So this is an introduction tonight to question 24 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism of Christ's office as prophet. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 22. This is Peter, the Apostle Peter, preaching in Solomon's portico at the temple, particular location at the temple in Jerusalem. The apostles healed a lame man and gave them the opportunity then to preach. And Peter, in the middle of his preaching here at the temple, referred to Moses in Acts 3:22. Hear now the words of God. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And we're following Thomas Boston. He died 1732. We're following his commentaries on the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And they're pretty thick. I have two volumes, and they're both about 2 inches thick. So altogether, it's a pretty thick commentary on the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And he always, when he begins addressing one of the questions in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, has an intro and a particular verse that summarizes key points that will be here on the question and answer from question 24. So, Acts 3:22, he's referring to what Moses said. If you turn back to Deuteronomy 18, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. That's Moses speaking to the Israelites. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet, capital P, prophet, like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. So in Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses had told the Israelites in the wilderness that Christ would be the great prophet of the church. So remember, Christ literally means the anointed one. So in the Old Testament, it referred to the coming Messiah, the coming anointed one that they referred to as the coming Messiah. Literally, we in the New Testament then use the word Christ. It's the equivalent. And Christ literally means anointed one. Three offices were anointed in the Old Testament in the nation of Israel: prophet, priest, and king. And Christ, as we've noted, fulfills all three in this one person as our mediator and savior and redeemer before God. Now, Peter, at Acts 3:22, what he is saying here when he's preaching in Solomon's portico in Acts 3 at the temple, he'd already given his Pentecostal sermon in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. The church has begun on the proclamation and preaching of the apostles. And Peter is essentially saying then, this eminent prophet that Moses said was coming has come. It is Jesus Christ. And he calls the Jews then to submit to his instructions, to submit to Christ's instructions, Christ the great prophet, the prophet that Moses said was coming. He has come, and we must listen to his teachings, his instructions. So a little bit of an outline then of how we are going to exposit and explain then Acts 3:22 and what Moses proclaimed in Deuteronomy 18:15. Two parts, A and B. A is a description of Christ as to his prophetic office. I have that on the board there on the front. A description of Christ as to his prophetic office. And then B is a strict command is given to obey this prophet. B, a strict, that'll be on the back of the board, a strict command is given to obey this prophet. So two things. We get a description of Christ as to his prophetic office, and then as well, a strict command is given to obey this prophet. So first, A description of Christ as to his prophetic office. What do we see there in Acts 3:22? The Lord, your God, will raise up for you a prophet. The Lord, your God, will raise up for you a prophet. So, there's three things that come out from this. We see his title, his type, as well as his stock and lineage. Okay? His title, a prophet. His type, who is Moses. He will be like Moses. A type, remember, is any person, place, or event in the Old Testament that foreshadows Christ. Coming in. Christ, something about the person and work of Christ. So we see his title. I put them with the arrows here. So his title, Christ is described by his title, a prophet. We're going to be looking at as well. He's described by his type, where the wording is, Moses says, he'll be a prophet like me. In other words, Moses is saying, I'm like a type of the prophet to come. I'm a person who's functioning in similar ways like Jesus Christ, who will be the great prophet to come. There's some similarity there. And then as well, we're going to see another one on the back of the board with his stock and lineage, that he's from their brethren. He'll be an Israelite. Okay? So it'll be three arrows here. The first two are on the front of the board, and then the third's on the back. Okay? Under this here, a description of Christ as to his prophetic office, that the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet, that Christ is described by his title, a prophet. And one of the things Boston wants us to note is that he, Christ, is the prince of all prophets, using the analogy and similarity that Jesus is the chief shepherd of all shepherds. Similarly, then, he's the chief prophet of all prophets. Right? If you think of, for instance, 1 Peter 5:4. So, in 1 Peter 5, referring to the elders, in First Peter chapter 5, verse 1, where he says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed," he says to them, "shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." And verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd, Christ, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." So Pastor Ron and I are elders, and we're to be shepherds of this flock here, but Christ is the chief shepherd. Moses is saying, "I'm a prophet," but guess what? The one who's coming will be a prophet like me, but he's going to be the chief prophet, the prince of all prophets. I put a quote on the board by Boston here, Thomas Boston. Boston wrote, "It belongs to a prophet, by virtue of his office, to expound the law, declare the will of God, and foretell things which are to come." Unquote. Read it again. "It belongs to a prophet, by virtue of his office, to expound the law, declare the will of God, and foretell things which are to come." Unquote. Yep. And Pastor Ron just went through that, right? In Q&A during the adult Sunday school class. Difference between foretelling and foretelling, where foretelling are the things to come in the future. That's one of the functions of the prophet. But one of them is to expound the law. What did Moses do? He received the tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments, the law of God, right? The Ten Commandments. And as well, then, he wrote the Pentateuch, the Torah of Deuteronomy, right? He wrote the law of God. He declared the will of God and foretold things which are to come, which is one of the things Moses was doing right here in Deuteronomy 18:15. He says, "I'm telling you what's coming, and that is one like me, whom the Lord your God will raise up, a prophet, the prince of all prophets, Jesus Christ." So then I added this on the end. This is where Boston goes into some explaining and saying, all these Christ does supremely. Christ does supremely proclaim the law of God to us and live it out for us as an example. What did he do when he sat there in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through 7? He did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, right? And then he went through and explained it. "You've heard the rabbis say, but I say to you." And he went through the law of God. He declared the will of God. People repent. And as well, he told us things to come. Think of the Olivet Discourse, the end of Matthew. He's proclaiming what's coming at his second coming. All of these things Christ does supremely because he is not just prophet, but he is the prince of all prophets, the chief prophet. So in this description of Christ as to his prophetic office, that's his title he's given in Acts 3:22, quoting from Moses, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet." That's his title. Christ is described by his type. By his type. Where Moses said it'll be a prophet like me. Acts 3:22, "Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me." A prophet like me. Now, how do we take that? How do we square that with Deuteronomy 34:10? Deuteronomy 34:10. where it notes this. But since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And what Thomas Boston notes is Moses here is described as a unique prophet. No doubt about that. He talked to God face to face in the sense of word to word in communication. But Moses, though, was a mere man. Even though he was unique above all prophets in the sense that he spoke to God directly. But he was still just a mere man. A servant of God, yes, but a mere man. But he's not the only begotten Son. It's not the only begotten Son, where Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Noted in various places, but John 3:16, for example. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So what we've got here is in a general sense and then in particulars, okay? In a general sense, and then we'll look at particulars of how there Moses was a type of Christ. A type. Christ is described by his type, where Moses said, Christ will be a prophet like me. This is where Moses himself is a type of Christ. There's similarities. So the way Boston lays this out is to look at them in general, just very general at first, and then to look at four particulars. Okay? So in a very general sense, Moses and Christ were similar. Both were persecuted in their infancy. Were they not? Pharaoh was trying to kill all the young little boys, the infants. How about Herod? Herod trying to kill all the infants, two and under. And both ended up being deliverers. Both ended up being deliverers. It's interesting. This is the way kind of Boston puts it. Moses was a temporal deliverer from Egypt. Christ from the spiritual Egypt. Moses from the temporal earthly Egypt. Christ delivers us from the spiritual Egypt. Meaning the sinful world and realm. But both were deliverers. Right? The greatest picture we have of redemption is Israel being redeemed from slavery in Egypt. You and I, we are redeemed from slavery to spiritual Egypt. It's the way Boston would describe it. From slavery to sin in the sense of the sinful world and realm of Satan's kingdom, spiritual Egypt. But in detail, in a detailed sense, in particulars, Christ was like Moses in the office as a prophet in four unique ways. So I've got them 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 and 2 here on the front of the board and 3 and 4 on the back, but kind of in brackets. Number one, particularly, Christ was like Moses, or Moses was a type of Christ. In their office of as prophet, think of Christ's great intimacy with God. Think of Moses, as we noted a little bit already, but look at Exodus 33:11. Exodus 33:11. You remember this verse when Pastor Ron went through the book of Exodus? So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And that can be translated mouth to mouth. No one has seen God at any time. No one can see God and live. Right? Look down at verse 20. God said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So there's something else that's being described there, right? It's this idea, though, of mouth to mouth. word to word. There's communication being done, even though Moses can't see God directly. He would die if he did. But there's a sense in which he can speak to him directly and respond in communication going back and forth as a man speaks to his friend. And that's the way Moses spoke with God. So Christ, in his great intimacy with God, there's that type being fulfilled. Moses had great intimacy with God, communicating face to face as a friend, foretelling what? How Christ himself would have such great intimacy with God the Father. And Christ excelled Moses in this intimacy because Christ was eternally with God. In the beginning, the Word, the Logos, was with God and was God, eternally, with God. Fellowship in the eternal Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, infinite love one to another and friendship. The Son knows the Father, and the Father knows the Son intimately and infinitely. Much more than Moses did. But yet, there's that type there, the analogy. Number two, in a particular way, Christ was like Moses in the office of a prophet in his excellent ministry, faithfully discharging it. In his excellent ministry, faithfully discharging it. Look at Hebrews 3:2. Hebrews 3:2, at the end, Christ Jesus is mentioned at the end of verse 1. Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all his house. As Moses was faithful in all his house to fulfill his ministry, Christ was faithful. I put there just Moses served Israel under the law, Christ serves the church under the gospel. This is the way. Now think Hebrews, the way Hebrews 3:2 puts it here, that Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, to God the Father who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all his house. This is an exact quote. I didn't write it on the board, but this is what Boston wrote. Quote, as the office of Moses extended to the whole house of God under the law and to all the service of it, so did Christ reach to the whole church of God and to all the service of it under the gospel. So a prophet has a particular office. They've got a particular function. By virtue of their office, they must expound the law, declare the will of God, and foretell things which are to come. Moses did that to the whole house of Israel. He was faithful in his service. Not perfect. He struck the rock with the staff, right? We know he didn't get to enter the promised land. He had an anger issue. Not perfect, but he still faithfully, by the grace of God, fulfilled his office as prophet. And he was a type of Christ, the chief prince of prophets to come. And in this way of faithfully discharging it, he's got this excellent ministry and he faithfully discharged it. Christ got an excellent ministry and he faithfully discharged it. And his 3-year ministry there on earth, recorded, highlights of it recorded for us, right, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Christ faithfully expounded the law of God, declared to us the will of God, and he foretold things to come. He spoke more of the judgment and hell that awaits people unless they repent than anybody else. Faithful prophet of God, more faithful than all of them. Well, let me, real quick, on Hebrews 3, if you're still in Hebrews 3, just look at the next few verses there. Hebrews 3:3-6. For this one, that's Christ, the prophet of all prophets, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony to those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end, that he is more glorious than Moses, being faithful in serving the house that he himself built. Church. Right? We know Matthew 16:16, on that confession, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Christ will build his church. So Christ excelled Moses as the eternal Son of God as prophet with his excellent ministry, faithfully discharging it to the church of God, the house that he himself built. So, number three, Moses was a prophet who mediated between God and the people. And in that sense, he is also a type of Christ the prophet, functioning as a mediator between God and the people. Look back at Deuteronomy 18:15 with it, but 16 and 17. Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly at Mount Sinai, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. People were greatly scared. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. Meaning, Moses, you act as the mediator. People are scared. So you, Moses, act as the mediator, the go-between. Between the people and me, God is saying. The mediator, the one in between. That's where the people were scared. Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. Saying, Moses, you talk to God, and then you tell us what he says. Prophet speaks to the people the law of God, will of God, and what God foretells about the future. Right? Those three things. A prophet speaks to the people the words of God. What God says about the law, his law, what God says about his will, and what God says about the future. He's foretelling the future. Right? But they didn't want to hear it directly from God. It scared them. So they said, we don't want that, please. And God said, oh, it's okay, it's good. We'll have Moses speak to you my words. He'll be my prophet, my mediator. So we have Christ, 1 Timothy 2:5, verse many of you are familiar with. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One ultimate chief go-between, Christ. But there is that sense then in which Moses was a type of Christ the prophet to come when he functioned as a mediator. For God spoke to the people through Moses, through the mediation of Moses. And God speaks to us through Christ in his words as our prophet. Number four, Moses confirmed his doctrine by many miracles. His teaching, what he was proclaiming, was confirmed by many miracles. You know, you look back at Exodus chapter 3, verse 20 and following. Exodus 3:20, so God says, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, it's the miracles, which I will do in its midst, and after that he will let you go. Pharaoh will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Then Moses, chapter 4, verse 1 there of Exodus, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, What is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, "Now put your hand in your bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, "Put your hand in your bosom again." So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you nor heed the message of the first sign, another word for miracle, that they may believe the message of the later sign, miracle. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, these two miracles, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land, the water which you take from the river will become blood in the dry land. You have all of this sense, and what God's saying, I will use signs and wonders, miracles, to confirm that you are my prophet, that your words are my words. Well, Moses is a type of the prince of all prophets, Christ. So, we turn to the New Testament, Acts 2:22, for example. Acts 2:22, in Peter's Pentecostal sermon, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you, attested or confirmed by God to you by miracles, powers, wonders, and signs." Almighty powers, wonders, and signs. Miracles, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. And then think of John 20:30-31. "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples." Signs, another word for miracle. Signs, wonders, and powers. "And truly Jesus did many other signs, many other miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, the ones that are here are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." He's the Christ, the Anointed One. He's our prophet, our priest, and our king, and his offices are proven by the miracles that he is who he says he is. So Christ, again, is described by his title as prophet. He's described by his type, Moses, and Christ is described by his stock and lineage. In Acts 3:22. A prophet like Moses, and as well a prophet from your brethren. From your brethren. Acts 3:22, "For Moses truly said to your fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet," his title, "like me," Moses says. Moses is a type then. We just looked at all these details. Moses is a type of Christ the prophet, "from your brethren. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren," from the Jews, from the Israelites. Christ is an Israelite. So, like, we've got different places for that, but a couple of them. You know, Romans chapter 9, verse 5. Paul speaking about the Israelites, his countrymen, fellow Jews. Romans 9:5, "Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came." And that's, you remember, where we have the genealogy of Joseph and Mary. Joseph at the beginning of Matthew chapter 1, going back through David and Abraham, as well as the lineage of Mary at the end of Luke chapter 3, as well, going back through David and Abraham. Christ is an Israelite of the tribe of Judah. Hebrews 7:14. Hebrews 7:14, for it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. He's from your brethren, this prince of prophets, be a Jew, an Israelite, and indeed he was. So the first part of the outline, again, A here in this introduction, a description of Christ as to his prophetic office. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet. You have his title, prophet. Moses said, he'll be a prophet like me. So Moses then is a type. Moses was a prophet, and he was a type of the prince of prophets to come, Jesus Christ. And we look at all those similarities. And as well, from your brethren, an Israelite. So now B, a strict command is given to obey this prophet. We've got his description, and now a strict command is given to obey this prophet. That in him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. The end of Acts 3:22. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. By hearing here, it means obedience. It means obedience. And that obedience ultimately is only to Christ as prophet. Him and him alone you shall hear regarding salvation. He and he alone you shall hear regarding salvation. Pastors have authority in the church. It's true, but it's under the chief shepherd, Christ, the Prince of Prophets, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Pastors have authority in the church only speaking Christ's words. Think of Hebrews 13:17. So this has to be addressed. If we say, hear Christ, hear him, him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, obey Christ, the Prince of Prophets. Well, does that mean we don't obey pastors in the church? Well, no. They're to be obeyed to the extent that they speak Christ's words. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you in the church. Obey the elders, the pastors, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. To whom? Christ Jesus, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Ultimately, this is Christ's church, not Pastor Ron's, not Pastor Ryan's. He and I are accountable to Christ. And to the extent we speak Christ's words, obedience is expected. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the chief shepherd, Christ the prophet. So let them do so with joy and not with grief. That would be unprofitable for you. We want to be filled with joy. He's speaking of his children in the church. I have no greater joy than my children in the church. Walking truth. Amen, yes. Brings us great joy. Brings us great sorrow when those fall in sin and they create great turmoil for their children and for their husbands and wives and problems. And sin causes us much grief. It is great joy when you walk in truth. Great joy for Pastor Ron and I. See loving marriages and families and faithful covenants and marriage covenants and raising their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, being responsible in their own families and homes. It's great joy. Christ said, Luke 10:16, he who hears you hears me. We bring the words of Christ. We focus on reading the Scriptures, preaching the Scriptures, and teaching the Scriptures. And this is where, you know, people at times do get mad. But technically, they're not mad at Pastor Ron and I. If we bring the words of Christ, they're mad at Christ. Pastors must be obeyed in the Lord. That's where Hebrews 13:17 again. And 1 Peter 5:1-5, we read that. Where Pastor Ron and I are shepherds. This is our flock, and we are shepherding the flock. And we are accountable to the chief shepherd when he comes, returns, Jesus Christ. Him you shall hear, Christ you shall hear, the Prince of Prophets, in all things, whatever he says to you, obey him. He brings to us the law of God, Christ brings to us his prophet, the will of God, and as well foretells the future. Remember the three things of the prophet. Ultimately, then, only to Christ as prophet. If I say, who's the head, ultimately, of Ku and Si Blue's marriage? Christ. Right? Christ is the head of the man, as the man is the head of the woman. Right? There's that hierarchy. But there is no human authority except from God. Romans 13:1. There is no human authority except from God. If there is human authority existing anywhere, it's delegated by God. But we're ultimately accountable to him. Every employer is ultimately accountable to God how they treat their employees. Every husband is ultimately accountable to God how they treat their wife and their children. Every pastor is ultimately accountable to God how we treat the flock and the church. Right? So he says, ultimately only to Christ as prophet as well, this obedience given to Christ universally in all things. Universally in all things. Romans 12:1-2 here. The idea that our whole life is to be a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this sinful world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As well there, put Colossians 3:17, I put as well, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do all in the name, in other words, under his authority. He is the one who is our prophet, the prince of all prophets, telling us the law of God, the will of God, and foretelling the future. That there is no square inch of authority outside of his authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Isn't that what he said at the preface to the Great Commission? Matthew 28:18. So there is no inch, no atom that's outside of his authority in the entire universe. All authority has been given to him in heaven and in earth and everything in between. And then lastly here in this grouping is under a severe penalty, this obedience is required. Under a severe penalty, this obedience is required. Go back to Deuteronomy 18:19. Right? Acts 3:22 quotes from verse 15. Here we have verse 19 in this context. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, a prophet speaks to the people, God's words, his law, his will, and what he foretells about the future. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, God says, which He speaks, the prophet speaks in my name, I will require it of him. I will require it of him, meaning God will revenge himself in destroying the disobedient. I will require it of him. I'll deal with that person and judge that person. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We have rewards of blessing to be obedient, but there are curses for those who are disobedient. Boston says this, this a quote from him, "This obligation laid on men to obey the great prophet is not a prediction, but more than commands." Because one could look at it and say, oh, it's just a prediction about the future. This duty or obligation to obey the great prophet is not just a prediction that it'll take place, but it is indeed more than commands. Of just abstract commands, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's the idea of obey him personally. He says. He is the one who says, thou shalt not. So here we have it. That was the intro to question 24 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Question, how does Christ execute the office of a prophet? Answer. Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Say it again. Question 24 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. How does Christ execute the office of a prophet? Answer. Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Isn't that a glorious thing? How are we saved from the wrath to come? He tells us. May we hear him. May we obey. You think of the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry in Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. Turn away from worshiping and serving idols to worship and serve Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Redeemer, our prophet, our priest, and our King. Repent and believe. He has come. The one whom the Lord God will raise up to be a prophet, like Moses, from among his brethren. Hear him. And Lord willing, then we'll pick this up next time we meet. Let me close in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, you're heavenly. And we rejoice that you are the living and true God, that you speak. And you speak to us through prophets and apostles. And your very words are written in Holy Scriptures. And we have the very oracles and words of yours in our hands, translated into English. We rejoice in your goodness to us. I pray by your Spirit, you would give us understanding. We rejoice Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king, prince of all prophets, who speaks to us your words, your laws, your will for our lives, what you have foretold about the future. And in all of this, how we are saved from the wrath to come, by faith alone in Christ alone, in his person and in his work, through his death at the cross for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead, victorious over sin and death. that in him, by faith alone, we are saved from the wrath to come, adopted as sons and daughters, heirs of a heavenly inheritance. We rejoice that you have proclaimed these words to us. I pray that you fill us by your Spirit, that we might obey. Keep us from straying off the narrow way. Keep us near you. May our mind meditate upon your words day and night, as one who has found great treasure. By them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. I pray that we have been refreshed in you this day, our Creator and our Redeemer, that we are energized to serve you this work week. I pray that in all that we do, whether we eat, drink, and in all our jobs in this world, that we do all to please you, to glorify your great name. I pray that you would protect us from the evil one, protect us from wolves in sheep's clothing. And Lord, we rejoice that we are pilgrims headed to our heavenly home. Keep us faithful. Keep us obedient. Keep us trusting. Enlarge our faith. Enlarge our hope. And I pray, too, that you'd protect each one traveling to their home this evening in the stormy weather. Protect us with your guardian angels, I pray, in Christ's precious name. Amen.